See, when I came into this thing, I didn't understand this. I didn't understand healing. But I come into the gospel and Dan had a healing service. And I'm like, oh my gosh. You kidding me? I saw somebody come to a healing service. And the man came with his wife, and it was a Wednesday during the day. And they came up to Dan and they said, listen, we don't believe in this really, and we're really skeptical. Is that going to matter? And Dan said, absolutely not. I guarantee you, the law of sin and death was on the earth when Jesus was here. Do you know that Jesus came and until he died, the Old Testament was in effect? Do you understand that? Then God established a new covenant because the first covenant with Jesus Christ, the testator, he died so that the new one we could have. The New Testament is actually the last will and testament because someone died to give you an inheritance that you have. It's powerful. There's so much in that, but I want to focus on healing and I want to nail this thing down pretty good. And then we're going to pray for the sick and a whole lot of people are going to be healed. And then you're going to walk and live your life and a whole lot of people are going to be healed because of your life lived, because you're not going to count your own life. Because that's what we're really after. It's crazy, man. This is absolutely awesome. Are you getting anything I'm saying? So this person, he came to Dan. Well, they had one of 50 cases of leukemia, of this kind of leukemia in the world that have ever been noted. And it's one of the quickest killers. And this guy got diagnosed a couple weeks ago. And there's no hope for him. So he comes with a hopeless question. And he says, I'm skeptical. Is it going to matter? That's pretty hopeless. Because a lot of people would say, well, you know what? You need a little more faith. Let me help you get more faith. You know how you can help him get faith? Pray for him, have him be healed. See, I'm sharing things that don't work out as well as things that do. Because there are two sides to this. Listen, if I'm going to pray for somebody with cancer, and I've watched 8 people die, and I'm praying for my 9th one, I'm not going to talk about the track record of losing 8. I'm going to explain to them every reason why they have hope to live and why Jesus paid a price for them. This thing messes with this really bad. And if you're not careful, this gets in the way and you'll live earthly, sensual, and demonic, and you'll live by the flesh, which is demonic. Earthly and sensual, feeling. Well, I don't feel like it's God's will. Well, I don't feel like I'm loved. Well, I don't feel like Jesus wants to heal me. Well, I did too much. I don't believe I can be healed. Your works aren't contingent on your healing. His work is. We need somebody to rise up and say, it's the goodness of God that brings people to repentance. So whether their heart's in a place of repentance and they come to you and they're angry, bitter, all messed up by life, listen, their soul is twisted and whacked out. And they are not right up here. And they're coming to you and they're hurting and messed up. And all they're looking for is hope. And Christ is in you. That's the hope of glory. And when you pray, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that's the mystery. But that hope being made manifest is Christ coming out of you, touching the world around you. So they go away. Dan prays for him. The guy didn't shake, rattle, roll, burn, nothing. He just said, thank you, sir. And they left. Dan's like, all right, let's pray for the next one. I was like, I don't understand the healing. I know I'm a brand new creation. I know I've got a lot of zeal and I'm burning with the gospel, man. And I've got a whole family that don't understand. And I've hurt them so bad. So bad. That now I'm berserk. I'm loony. I'm crazy. I'm whacked in the head. I believe this gospel so much because I don't believe Jesus paid a price just to get me to heaven. He paid a price for heaven to get into me. And now I'm possessed. Now I find out that there's healing, because I watched people get healed and I couldn't really see it, you know. So I wasn't a place where I'd never seen it. I saw people rejoice and they couldn't walk and now they can. God comes in, his knee's so messed up he can't walk. He walks out of there complete crying and walking. And I'm like, I could feel it. But but he's walking. And I'm like, kidding me? So I said to Dan, I said, man, I said, what's the deal? He said, oh, he said, well, healing's in the atonement. I said, what's atonement? I didn't understand that stuff. I knew the blood of Jesus had set me free. And I knew I was a brand new creation. And I've got a clean canvas. My soul, my mind is a clean canvas. There's no stuff in there. It needs to be painted on. God wants to paint on my blank canvas. So he paints a picture. This guy with the knee got healed. This other one, I hear a story of another lady that walked out, brought a baby in there that's sitting there shaking and trembling and has had seizures since birth. And Dan prayed for him. And Dan said, when they walked out of there, the baby's still seizing. And I said, what'd you do? He said, it's not what I did. It's what the Lord did. He spoke to me. He said, don't be deceived by what you're seeing right now. And Dan got some ladies together, the prayer warriors. They just said, thank you, God, for what you've done. The next morning, that baby wake up in the crib, cooing, normal as ever, went to Johns Hopkins, completely healed. And I dared to allow that to be written on my canvas. I challenge you. Take all the stuff you didn't see, get it off your canvas. So I'm in the healing service. I'm there a couple weeks later. I'm brand new, man. I'm a couple weeks old. I'm like, wow, this is awesome. I don't know how it works, but it's cool. And all I did was destroy people for 22 years as a drug addict, an atheist, whatever. That's my life. Hurting and destroying. I've got a brand new wife that was with me for 9 of those years. A daughter that was 7 and a half that I destroyed her life, that has no memory of who her daddy was. So God gave my daughter a blank canvas from the beginning of my Christian life. At 7 and a half years old, everything that I wish I never did got wiped out of her memory. So now my daughter's got a blank canvas too. Wow. And my brand new wife, she never, ever brings up all, I mean, I threatened to kill her if she ever left me. Kill myself. I mean, I was an idiot. Because I was lost. But now I'm found. I was blind. So was she. She was an atheist too. Mercy spoke to my girl when I was in Teen Challenge for 2 months. She hated me when I left. She gave her life to Jesus. And I came home and she asked me to marry her. This is like a dream. It's crazy. It's not a fairy tale. It's Christianity. It's the reality of redemption. But redemption makes old things pass away. All things become new. That's your body too. Well, you know, I'm still... Stop it. Jesus. So, I'm in there 2 weeks later, and the worship guy comes up. He comes in, he's got a sticky note, and he comes twirling down the aisle. He's just having fun. Dan's in the middle of doing a service. And he goes, I've got a message for you. Dan goes... Remember, he took his hand through his hair. He goes, wow. He looked at me. I mean, I'm just a baby. Yeah. I'm 8 right now. It's a miracle. Guaranteed. 9 years ago, the only place y'all have showed up like this is a courtroom. Dan goes, listen to this. Todd, do you remember the man that came in here with leukemia? I said, yeah. He went back to the doctor. It's completely gone from his body. I went, oh my gosh. I just started to freak out. I went, this is crazy. People are coming to your healing service and they're being healed. Why wouldn't God do it out there? I just got this bright idea. He goes, well, he would. I said, well, it's on. It's on. I didn't have any model. I didn't have anybody. I didn't have a mentor out there holding my hand, taking me on an outreach. What I did have is a whole family that very much misunderstood and were very angry at me. What I did have was my brand new wife that was amazing. 2 weeks into our relationship, said, I will never go in public with you again. And it sounds funny. But it wasn't good. I had a lady that loved me with all of her heart. And still, even though I'm praying for people, she didn't ever say, well, I can't believe this. You didn't change. No, she couldn't say that because my whole life changed. There wasn't anything for her to point the finger at and say, well, this is twisted, this is twisted, this was, you're still swearing, you're a hypocrite, you're this, you're that. There was no hypocrisy to be found because it's not my cup and it's not yours either. So she said, we're in Walmart. First time I remember, like, I'm in Walmart and I just got this bright idea. There's a lady in a walker. I'm brand new, man. I just got this revelation that God wants to heal. And I said, excuse me. I mean, I didn't even ask my wife. I mean, I didn't even think about that at all. We're here. The lady's at the right about there. I go, oh my goodness, ma'am. She says, yeah. I said, listen, the Bible says that if I pray for you and if I believe when I do, that you'll be healed. She goes, really? I said, yeah. She goes, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't know that I believe that. And I said, that's okay. I said, the worst that can happen is nothing. We don't got anything to lose. No, the first time I prayed, there wasn't 40 people standing around in a circle. I didn't have a prayer team. I didn't have amazing keyboard guy behind me. Josh's awesome, man. You're going to switch up on me, aren't you? Look how red he got. You see that? That was the Lord making me turn. Because you guys kind of look funny for a little. Great job. I go through them, man. No, I'm just kidding. So I prayed for this lady, and guess what happened? Nothing. I said, check and see. I hurt so bad. I said, well, the Bible says if I believe it's going to happen. She goes, okay, thank you. I turn around, and my wife is gone. I promise you. And I don't know where she went. So I'm going through the store looking for my wife, but there's another sick person that I saw. And I can't, and I lost everything. I'm at Walmart, there's sick people, and all of a sudden, my eyes were open. My eyes were open, and I saw the need. And I was like, oh my goodness. And I get it. I'm a Christian. And see, when Jesus walked, everybody came to him. But because the body of Christ tends to care more about herself, Christians aren't really sought out. I'm not being mean. I'm being real. And I'm not saying that so that you get condemned. I'm saying this to provoke your heart so that you change the way you think and see people. Because my Bible says they follow Jesus for days without food. And people would rather eat than talk to us. But what if we went to where they're eating? So I prayed for like 9 people. So I said, that's it. I'm going to pray for 9 or 10 people, 12 people. I'm going to pray for them every day. Well, this is an hour and a half later. I didn't find my wife. And she's in the car. She is fuming, man. She says, what are you doing? Who do you think you are? I said, I'm your husband. I said, I watched these people get healed. Dan prayed for them. She goes, you are not a pastor. And how do you know that they were healed? I just believe it. Well, she let me have it, man. And I didn't say a word. I just was quiet and I cried and I went home to my house, to our little trailer we lived in. I went back to my bedroom, put the groceries away, I went back to my bedroom, and I cried my heart out. And I didn't cry because my wife made me mad or upset at her. I understood why Jesus wept. See, when someone's mad at you and angry at you about the gospel, it should cause your heart to weep. Because they're not your war. The tragedies of life past and the manipulation of the devil and life coming, bang, bang, bang. Your war is not against people, it's against principalities. They're not your war. So when people are angry, the question was asked today, how do you love your family when they're angry or they don't? This is how. You weep and you cry. You go back in your room when no one's looking, and grace will meet you there. And you say, God, I want to see him the way you do, God. Father, thank you. Jesus, man, he is whooped and beaten and broken and crushed and mutilated, man. And he's on the cross and he's sitting there in a pile of mush and he's there and you can't even recognize him. Jesus, the one that we say we follow, hanging off a tree, man. He can't even, it's chewed. He's a mess. The Bible says he was marred beyond any man. And he says these words, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Man, that's our Lord. That's the one we follow. We get hurt and offended. Stop it already. It's the truth. Let it grip your heart in such a way that it changes the way you think. Jesus is amazing. So I cried and I said, God, I'm asking you. I'm in my pillow. Snot mess, man. First day of my prayer. Listen, the first day that Jesus preached, they took him to a cliff to throw him off to kill him. Yeah. The first day. First day, he preaches. Says they led him to a cliff and we're going to throw him off, but he slipped out in the midst of them. I guarantee you that Jesus didn't boohoo and cry about the rejection. I guarantee you, he went to a place with his Father and he cried out with vehement tears and cries, God, I came to redeem the life that you gave me. Burnt offerings and sacrifices you didn't want, but a body you've prepared, and this is your body, Lord. Paul, a drink offering, a sweet smelling sacrifice to the Lord. Stephen, right before he's crushed, he saw Jesus standing at the right hand. Jesus is seated at the right hand. But the first martyr for the church. Jesus is killed. I mean, Stephen is killed. But right before that, he says, don't hold this sin against them. And we get attitude. What are we doing? Really? People don't see. They've been marked by life. They've been pottered by stuff. They've been manipulated. The minds are corrupted and taken away from the simplicity that's in the Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:3. So minds are messed up and taken away from the simple, from Christ. And we get technical. We try to figure it out. And we try to have peace. And we try to figure it out to have the peace. But Jesus says the peace. If you want the peace that I came, you have to give up your right to understand it, to have it. Because the peace that he wants to give us surpasses knowledge, surpasses understanding. You got to believe that what he did is enough to give you that. Therefore, we have peace with God, having been justified by faith. That's what gives my peace. So that when my wife is hammering me and beating me up, I'm in my bedroom saying, God, don't hold this against her. Don't hold this against her. God, I thank you. And I never prayed, God, I need you to change her life so that mine gets better. Mine gets better. That's selfish. That's not God at all. That's selfish praying. I pray for my wife because she needs to know that she's a daughter of God. She needs to know who she is. So my prayers are, God, I ask you to show her who she is. Show her who she is. I come out of that bedroom, nothing changed. Bam, she's not punching me, but she's hammering me. Just get away from me, okay? I love you. Yeah. That's the first day, debut. So I go to work. I'm like, it's awesome. Everything's changed. There's so much in it. I'm going to talk about healing. There's so much stuff. I'm sorry. I'm getting off a little, but it's all the same thing. It's the gospel. I live this thing, man. My life is a testimony. Your life is too. The Bible says to walk worthy of your calling. Well, I wasn't called. You're wrong. If you said yes, there's a call. Those who call, he called, he justified. To those he justified, he glorified. That's you. That's the Bible. There can be different calls, but if you said yes, you answered the call, because no one comes to God unless he draws them. No one comes to the Father except through the Son, but no one comes to the Son except that the Father draw him. So if you said yes, he drew you. You didn't find God, he found you. So I pray for another day at work. All these people, I come home, I am messy, I'm a pipe layer. I'm like, man, today, yeah, my wife is so surprised that I'm working. I never worked. She is so surprised that I'm working. I tell her, I prayed for all these people today. Would you see anything? No. No. Well, you're going to get fired is what you're going to do. No. No, this is the gospel. They can't fire me because of the gospel. But I wasn't the kind of person to pray and let my job slack. That's not the gospel. We need to be so heavenly minded that we're earthly incredible. If you're going to pray for people on your job, you better have your production be utmost and amazing. That there's nothing for them to point the finger at you about either. It's life skills, man. It's awesome. Everything. What does a new creation mean? It means that the worker that you used to be, when you get a blank canvas, God puts new work ethic on there. He says, whatever you do it as unto the Lord and not for people. Therefore, Jesus is your employer. Wow, he's the man. Literally, he's the man seated at the right hand. Literally. So that's my new boss. Woo! And my boss says that people need to be healed. So I'm going after this thing. So we go to the store again. My wife immediately jets. Gone. Where are you going? Get away from me. I told you to knock it off. Now I've got her mama. She is so not okay with this. Her mom came to my wedding and said, I can't believe she married you. This is only a couple weeks later. She calls her mom. You're not going to believe what's going on right now. Oh, I believe it. She expected her to say that I'm drinking, I'm partying, I'm doing drugs again. But that's not what my wife said. Praying for all these people. Thinks he's some kind of pastor. I don't know who he thinks he is. Her mom goes, well, he ain't no pastor. He's this. She's not a believer. So she's getting advice from a worldly standpoint. But my wife still won't bring up who I was because it's not in my life anymore. And there's nothing she can say about that because it's dead and it's gone because that's the old man that's crucified. So her mama hammering me. Then we go over to, Thanksgiving at her house. I get there, wham, ooh, Mr. Jesus. None of them. Her stepdad's the one at my wedding. He said, you're a loser and you'll always be one. He doesn't understand. I'm not going to hold that against him. Come on, man. Hammering me. Who do you think you're? And it was like constantly, and I didn't sense the darkness. I knew that I was light. Regardless of how they hammered me, and when they did, I didn't revile in return. There's so much in this thing, it's awesome. So I would tell testimonies at the table at Thanksgiving of all the people that I prayed for that didn't get healed. Doesn't matter what they believe, I do. I said, I pray for all this person today. And they were in, and they're just like eating. Everybody's silent. They're like, will you do me a favor? Will you shut up? I can't. And it just made things worse. So it seemed. And I'm still praying. Now I'm 2 weeks into praying for people. And my wife said, you know what? She's out in the car. She's fuming mad. She said, I will never go in public with you again. I'm finished. She wasn't finished with our marriage because I was a different man. She didn't marry the guy that was. That guy died. But this new guy that's alive, he is way more alive than she bargained for. And I'm still praying for people. Prayed for an average of 10 people a day. So I'm 3 weeks in. Coming home, sharing testimonies about all the people I didn't see healed. Sounds crazy. I'd call Dan. Man, I prayed for all these people today. Did you see anything? No. What are you going to do? Well, the Bible says if I believe, they'll be healed. So my belief's not where it needs to be. He's like, good for you. Awesome. And I'd come to healing service. I'd see people healed. I'd be like, man, wow, oh. And then I'd just go out there and pray for people again. On my job, you're a nut. You're a freak. You are crazy. I know, but I would do my job, man. And they couldn't replace me. Never laid pipe before, but we became the second fastest pipe laying crew in a few months. And my atheist foreman was so glad that I worked like that. I mean, they threw pebbles on my head. I mean, tease me. I'm in the trench, man, laying pipe, man. They're like, what? You're crazy, man. Jesus loves you, man. They'd make fun of me, being a job trailer, pornographic pictures everywhere. And they would say, what's wrong with you, man? Why can't you look, man? What's wrong with you? And I would cry. I wouldn't tell them, you guys are sinners. I would cry. Say, you don't understand. I'm in love. I love my wife. And I would cry. I said, man, I love my wife too, but so what, man? I was so convicted in my heart of where my conscience was that I wasn't going to violate it because I was being teased. There's so much in here, guys. This is your portion. All I am is a son. All I am is God's boy. And all you are is God's girl or God's boy. So I'm praying again. 2 months go by, nothing. This is not good because my wife is very angry. And my daughter, my little daughter, she's the one who would go shopping with me, Destiny. She would go shopping with me and she would watch me pray for people. She would listen and watch the scowls of people's faces. She would hear their rude comments, their mean stuff all the time. I mean, they would have attitude. I'd pray for people. Yeah, and my daughter would hide behind me. We'd be in the car driving back from the grocery store. Someone would cut me off, give me the finger, scream out the window because I don't go fast anymore. This is the same daughter that used to have a daddy that had road rage, the one that would get out of the car and freak out on somebody once in a while when she was there. And they're screaming and flipping me off. And my daughter's looking at daddy, I don't like this. It's okay, honey. Daddy's not upset. It's okay. You can't bite your lip and do that. You have to have a blank canvas. I promise. We can do this. So she would go and she'd listen to her mama go. Rawr. My wife is watching right now. She's amazing. But she didn't understand. And she was very mad. She would listen to my wife scream. And I'd go back in the bedroom and Destiny would come back with me. Because I'd read and pray. And I'd say, honey, we're going to pray for mama, okay? She'd say, okay, dad. Father, we thank you for mama. We thank you for the amazing woman that she is. We thank you for the awesome mother that you gave me, mama. We thank you for the awesome wife that you gave me. God, there's no other mama on earth like our mama. We thank you, Father, for this amazing woman. God, thank you that you're showing her who she really is. We come out of that bedroom, rah! But we still prayed. It didn't look right. So we prayed again, out in public, and nothing's happening. 2.5 months, nothing. By this time, figured out. It's an average of 70 people awake a week. That's a lot of people, man. 3 months, nothing. I'm still coming home from work, sharing the testimonies of what's not happening. But what should? I'd always say, but it should be happening. And everybody's telling me, listen, man, from church, this ain't your gift. You need to back off. Listen, obviously, you've prayed for all these people. Listen, your wife is not in agreement with what you're doing. The Lord's not hearing your prayers because she's not in agreement. You have to understand, listen, I've been in Christian a long time. I've got this, I've got that, giving me all their excuses that are probably in books somewhere. I'm not being mean and I'm not beating up the church. Because I did not fault them, nor did I say, you're wrong and I'm right. I said, thank you. Thanks for trying to help me. Appreciate it. And it was like it went through one ear and out the other. Because I had a blank canvas. I can't emphasize this enough. Because life wasn't going to potter me. Situations weren't going to mold me and keep me bound. Are you guys okay? This is real stuff, man. Your family's lives depend on you getting this. Your people at work depend on you getting this. Your people at your schools depend on you getting this. Your family reunions depend on you getting this. 3 months go by, nothing. Same stuff. People at work think I'm a loony tune. Then one day I'm at work, 3.5 months in, and a guy pulls in on a truck, and I didn't even know what a word of knowledge is. Understand about 1,000 people, and I didn't even know what a word of knowledge was. I have no idea. And all of a sudden I get this thought, 2 herniated discs and sciatic nerve damage. I'm like, I don't know what that is. Guy comes up, says, hey, I'm here to, I was in a guard shack. I was just writing license plates down. Guy comes by, he says that. I said, man, I said, do you got something going on right here? Do you have this? He goes, yes. I go, oh. I'm a guy that has prayed for about 1,000 people and never saw anybody healed. And I don't even know what a word of knowledge is, but I know that this didn't come from me. And I didn't read it in my Bible either. I didn't know about that's what it was until after it happened a bunch. So I said, man, will you come in here for me? He goes, yes. I had a little tiny shack, a cubicle about this big. And I'm in there, just me and the Holy Spirit and the Bible. And I just happened to be at Mark 16 that says that these signs will follow them that believe. So I looked at him. I said, are you a Christian? He said, I'm Catholic. I said, good. You believe in Jesus? Yes. Okay. Look at what this says. These signs will follow them that believe. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes. That's awesome. Me too. Let's pray for your back. Why? These signs, they will pray, lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. Your back is sick. He said, it hurts so bad. I said, come on, let's pray. So he goes, what do we do? I said, just stand there. I didn't make up a long prayer, nor did I preach a sermon to him. I said, back, I command you in the name of Jesus, be healed. Amen. I said, bend over. He bends over and he stands up and he goes, you have a power. I wanted to jump out of my skin. But when he said, you have a power, something in me got sick. Immediately. Because see, I prayed for all these people and nothing happened. So if I had a power, it would already happen. Are you getting that? It's true, the power of God is real. But if we just think it's a power, we'll never think that it's a person. It's called the Holy Spirit. It's a person. So I said, no, watch. I don't have a power. I'm a believer. We just believed. And the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. Do you want him to live inside of you? What is it? So we proceeded. Listen, he said, you have a power again. I said, no, stop. Listen. Listen. I was this. And I told him who I was and all the stuff I did. And I said, Jesus paid a price to live inside of me, to live inside of you. Mary can't save you. I didn't beat it up in Catholicism and all that. I said, as a matter of fact, I read in my Bible that the last thing that Mary said at the wedding of Cana was, do whatever Jesus tells you. So Jesus says to pray, lay hands on the sick. Jesus says that unless one is born again, he'll never see the kingdom. So being born again is coming to God as your Father, believing. It's not that hard, guys. Awesome time. First one, I went in the building and I got on the phone. And I said, Dan, guess what? Because I would call him all the time, tell him every day. Nothing happened, nothing happened, nothing happened, nothing happened, nothing happened. 3.5 months straight, nothing happened, nothing happened, nothing happened, nothing happened. Jackie's beating me up. She's really angry. She's really bitter. She's really, really mad. What are you going to do? I'm just going to pray for her. Well, what standpoint are you praying for? I'm praying because I'm hurting for her. Attaboy. Attaboy. Never once did he discourage me. So I told him, I was like, yeah, I'm so happy. Oh, and I called my wife. I said, guess what? I just prayed. I'm in the guard shack. I just prayed for this guy. And he got healed. And I'm sitting there. I'm telling my testimony. Bam, 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 bam. Didn't hurt. My blank canvas doesn't have pain from people on it. She just doesn't know. Man, this is real. So all of a sudden, I said, you know what? I'm going to go home and I'm going to write down what happened today. So I went home and I wrote it out. You know, I got this little paragraph of, yeah. And then I continued to pray for as many people. And I would see like one every couple of days. And I would write them down in my little book that are testimonies. And I'm like, whoa. And I tell my wife, bam, same stuff. Hammer, 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 hammer. About 6 months into this thing, about 3 months, now I was seeing like a person like every day. So now I'm writing testimony every day. I didn't write the ones I didn't see. I wrote the ones that I did so I could keep my eyes on what God was doing. Just a little hint. So I'm writing them down. And then about 7 months in, now I'm seeing about 2 or 3 people every day. I'm like, wow. By the time I was 8 months in, I was seeing about 1.5 hours of write downs every day. Every day. And it was taking so much time away from my family that I said, God, I can't do this anymore. He said, that's all right. They're written in your heart. I still have that book. So 8.5 months into this thing, 8.5 months, my wife and my daughter, she's been going. She's been seeing people healed all the time. She's so excited. Daddy, there's another one. Let's go. I mean, we chase witches around the stores and stuff. Really? I'm not afraid. I need a hug. I'm just not. What are you going to do? How can you curse what God's blessed? I said, I just think different, man. I just am not afraid of that stuff. What do I have to fear? Fear is of the hell. It's of hell. So my wife says to me, okay, listen, we have a lot of things to get today. I'm going to go to the store. I went, with me? She goes, yes, but I am not shopping with you. You go to one side, I go to the other. You take your daughter, I will meet you in the car. These are the things that you need to get, and gives me a list. And I will get the other things. You have a debit card, I have a debit card. You check out, I'll meet you in the vehicle. Do not be long. I am like in tears inside because it's the first time that she went in public with me. I'm like amazed. I'm blown away. I'm like so thankful. Wow. Awesome. I'm not thinking, boy, she's in for it now. I'm not thinking that. It's not about that. I'm not here to impress my wife. I'm here to glorify Jesus and enter in to the power of his resurrection, to the fellowship of his sufferings. Sufferings. It's part of this. Part of this gospel is being misunderstood. But not allowing other people's misunderstanding make you misunderstand their created value.
So my daughter and I are going through and we're just getting some stuff. And my daughter's like, I can't believe mommy's here. I said, no, it's awesome. Yay, God, it's awesome. So good. Let's get this done so we don't mess it up. Because I want her to shop with me. So we go down the aisle and we have a problem now. Because there's a lady in a scooter. And my daughter's with me. She goes, Dad. I go, I know. Come on, let's go. Mom's on the other side of the store. We said, hey, listen. And her granddaughter's there. I said, can we pray for you? She goes, oh, honey, I pray. I'm okay. I'm like, no, you're not. You're in a scooter. I wasn't being mean. Honest. I'm a year old. A lot of zeal. Seeing God do things. Yeah, I've made some mistakes along the way, but my heart, my intention is to love people. And I said, listen, I said, I understand you pray. We pray too. We're members of the body of Christ. Can we pray with you? She says, honey, listen, I pray. Richard Roberts prays for me every night on TV. He puts his hand out. I said, I understand. That's awesome, but you're still in that scooter and you're hurting. She says, yes, I know. And I looked at the granddaughter. I wasn't even thinking, honestly. And this thing came out of my mouth. I said, do you want to have your grandmother play with you again? She goes, yeah. I went, she goes, like, you know, I can't believe you just did that. I wasn't saying that to play on her emotions. I was saying that because she's a kid. She's like the age of my kid. My kid loves when I play with her. What I didn't know is she said, I've been in this chair for 27 years. I've had 4 back surgeries. I'm on chronic pain medication and I can't even stand up straight. My granddaughter has to drive the scooter out to the car to get me out of the car into the store so we can go shopping and have something to eat. She takes care of her granddaughter. She's been in that chair for 27 years. Her granddaughter has never played with her. So her granddaughter gets this hope thing. Like, she doesn't have a revelation of healing, but play with her grandmother gave her a vision of something that she wanted to do. So I said to her, okay, let's pray. She goes, go ahead. So me and my daughter, Father, we thank you. I get the granddaughter involved. We pray Jesus' name. God, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for her brand new back in the name of Jesus. I said, can you do me a favor? She goes, what? She goes, I said, can you check it? She goes, you don't understand what kind of pain I'm in. Did you hear me tell you? I said, yeah. Do you feel anything in your back? She goes, no, but you got to get people to check it. So I said, can you please stand up for me? She goes, I can't even stand up straight. I said, can you try? She goes, fine. With attitude, puts her leg around. A lot of pain, sweat, not good. She gets out of that chair. She goes, oh. She grimaces with pain. She just looks like she's ready to collapse. I said, come on, honey, let's pray again. So we put our hand on her back. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus, God. Brand new back. Back be healed in Jesus' name right now. So the granddaughter goes, what's going on, Grandma? This hurts. And all of a sudden, her grandma starts to shake, starts to stand up like this. Her granddaughter goes, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm blown away, dude. I don't care what it is. I'm so thankful. No matter what, I don't care if it's your pinky. I couldn't have done it. He had to. One thing is as great as the next. It's awesome. She stands up. She's like moving around, and I'm like, what's going on? She goes, I don't know. My back's moving inside. I go, awesome. The granddaughter looks at her and she goes, Grandma, run! Run! And I go, I just back off. Destiny's going, what's going on? I said, I don't know. And I'm crying. And the granddaughter, she goes, Grandma, run. And Grandma goes, run. I can hardly walk. She goes, come on, Grandma. Grabs her hand and they waddle to the end of the aisle. It was an awesome thing. It was the most awesome thing. They come back down to grandmom's out of breath. She hasn't run in a long, long, long time. She hasn't walked in a long, long, long time. Walked a couple of steps like this. Imagine a life like that. Imagine a lady that was bowed over for 18 years. like Jesus found. That's what I got in front of me right now. Same thing, same stuff. Demonic. It's from hell. All sickness is from hell, period. It's never from God. She comes back, she goes, and all of a sudden my wife walks in the aisle. And my daughter and I go, for real. I guarantee you, my wife's watching this, she's crying right now. Because it's so fresh, it's so real, it's so true. My daughter gets behind me. You have no idea. You have no idea how hard it was for my wife. Hard. It's a struggle, man. This thing's on. If you're not a believer, I am. If you go with me and don't believe, doesn't matter. I am. If we hang out and you don't believe, you will see. It doesn't matter if you believe or not. You stand there, whatever. Whatever you believe, I do. I'm not going to be a log jam. I'm going to run. So I said, this is my most amazing best friend. Will you do me a favor? I said, would you go and tell her name's Jackie? Would you tell her what God did? Well, sure I will. What's wrong with you? I go, I'm just really happy for you. This is awesome. I'm going to wait here. Promise. She went there. She went to my wife. My wife is shaking her head. My daughter, what's going on, Dad? Mommy's really mad right now. She goes, I know. She goes, is she telling her? I said, yep. My wife looks at me, looks at this lady. She turns her head and she loses it. Loses it right there. She bawls so hard. And I look at her and I'm like, oh my God. And I'm not messing this up, man. She's crying so hard. Talking to the lady, they're hugging. She goes, you really do have an awesome wife. I went, thank you. She thanked me, prayed. We prayed together. Granddaughter's with Jesus now. It's awesome. Not with Jesus, but with him here, you know. We go check out. I'm bawling. My daughter's laughing. My wife is crying profusely. I talk to every checkout person. It doesn't matter. Cashiers always. It's priority. I'm meeting them. They need to meet him. I can't talk. I'm a mess. And she didn't ask me what was wrong. It was weird. We had a sad, happy, sad sandwich. My daughter was so happy. So she went through the stuff. But this is joy now because she knows it's real. So we get in the car, nothing said. I go home, put the groceries away. We cry the whole way home. I go back to the bedroom and I cry and I lay on my bed and I thank God for the endurance that he's put in me. It's not an option. It says, bear with each other. It says that we're to carry long suffering. It says that love always hopes for the best. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love doesn't seek its own. Love does no harm to anyone. Love doesn't see what's wrong. Love sees what's been made right. Love doesn't look at somebody and say, you just don't get it, do you? Love just gets it. And like a sheep to the slaughter is silent.